Yes, a very good evening to you, or a good afternoon to you, wherever you are finding yourself in this beautiful, beautiful continent, green and dark continent. Welcome to the business and economic segment. My name is Kanjeko Kamekulu Nkwanyoka, and yes, man, as we do daily, we look at the foundation, we look at the structure, we attack the structure, we attack the foundation of our economic building blocks. And the main aim, as we keep saying, the main aim is to find the best alternative way to go forward. We don't want to be stuck, and we don't want to be dependent on those who've been feeding us. We want to improve. We want to get better. And yes, we keep improving, and we keep finding different ways to do things. And for today, it's an election year, and Eagle FM as a platform, as a bridge to circulate information, and to ensure that we build a knowledgeable economy and the rational individuals that make rational decisions. We have also availed a platform to various political parties to come through by 30 minutes, and we give you free 30 minutes. Come and talk about your manifestos. Come and talk to the people. We know Namibian people are oral people. Yes, we are gradually moving into that sphere of reading, but still, radio still play a key role in terms of disseminating information. And for today on this platform, we are joined by affirmative repositioning leader, that is Job Mpanda. I'm sorry, Job, I don't call people professors and I don't call people doctors. That is your personal title. We are joined by Job, and we are going to take a look at their manifesto. We have availed our platform, as we have advertised, to all political parties. We have reached out to all the political parties to utilize this platform, and he's going to take us through their AR manifesto. But before we just go in that manifesto, Job, it has been quite a journey. I was sober by that when you started the activism and everything. It has been quite a journey, and you've been quite vocal when it comes to socio-economic and governance issues of the country, and now you have taken step to join in the system of power and policy making. And even though Namibian people are still to go choose if you join that system or not. But as you have stated in the AR manifesto, that you guys have realized that the best solution to change your country is to occupy the very places where the pain and the suffering are cooked. I found that in something that you wrote there. Now, the voters are the one who are definitely going to choose and who are going to appoint, who are going to give you green light. And we know that it depends on your manifesto. It depends on the plan and the strategy that you have in place. Because I'm quite sure that the general public and Namibian people are now also moving away from the traditional way or the older approaches of choosing leaders. I'm hoping that we are all at the same level in terms of looking at our socioeconomic issues that is now going to be based on the ideas and the plan that are going to be presented to them. Now, before we just go in there, in the manifesto specifically, I have one question for you and for you to greet our listeners. Then I can ask my question. Yeah. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Kangjiro. And I'm a fan of your show.
Thank you.
The economy. I think it was Karl Marx who even said that at the end of the day, people must eat, must drink, and they must be clothed. So it is very important. I don't think we spend a lot of time discussing the economy. I don't think our country prioritizes the economy. Uh-huh. And that's why we are in a state where we're in. So also to say we are very proud of you and the work that you do. Of course, sometimes you are critical of all of us.
Yep, definitely.
That's what it's supposed. We are not looking for fans. Uh-huh. We are looking for people to discuss the issue so that even if we die, even if we are unable to do what we do now, there's somebody who's going to continue with the consciousness. So greetings to you, firstly, and greeting to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Job. Now, before I let you go in that document of yours, and I'm glad it's not even thick, it's something which is well summarized. And I think the team was behind you and so for not making it so thick, because Namibian, we are not readers. There is one critical question. Actually, there are two. I will start with one. Briefly, you are not only aspiring to end a parliament or national assembly, you're also aspiring to become the president of Namibia. And I want briefly, before we get into the manifesto, this is the critical question. Why do you want to be the Namibia next president and also deploy a team to our National Assembly? Why do you want to occupy such a highest a position in Namibia, and why do you want it to have a specific team with different minds in the highest rules and the policy making body? I think that is critical to underline and to make everybody understand.
So there are many reasons why I decided to run for president. Part of the reason is that there are many young men and women, particularly our generation, that have been in this country for 34 years, seeing how our country is zigzagging. And of course, they indicated over the years that, you, Chief, you need to take up the baton, you need to go and fight, and that you need to listen to carefully. You need to listen carefully to the terminology that we use. We use the word fight.
Yeah.
We are not talking about participating. We are not talking about contesting. We are talking about fight. So their message was always to say, go and fight for us. But, you know, that's what we find with politicians in Namibia. They always say, the people want me. The people want me to stand. That's not only the reason. I also decided that I'm a Namibian. I have children here. I have two boys that are biologically mine, and many others that I have, because as an African. So I think, what type of society are we living for these young people? Remember, as an activist, I have been going to state house. I've been going to courts. I'm still in court. I've been going to the street and things like that. So I understand perfectly what is wrong. So one of the key motivators for me to run for president is that our country is weak, and we have a weak leadership. And weak leadership is one of the cornerstone of the socioeconomic problems that we are facing today. We've had, and I've been studying this weak leadership for quite a long time now. You had, for instance, we had a problem of GBV and violence and things like that. Instead of being able to be decisive, President Bohamba invited Namibians to go to Sam Nujoma Stadium and pray for problems. Now, this is a president, this is the highest person that is there. And Genkop come to office, and he says to the people of Namibia, no, he doesn't want to have any discussion on business at State House. So, do you know, and all of us were all quiet about that. It means if a president is not discussing business and the economy, what is the president discussing at State House? He's discussing what? Religion, history, public holidays, songs and birthdays. So how can a president in an era where we are trying to get away from the yoke of colonialism, where we are one of the most unequal nations on the face of the earth, not want to deal with the issues of the economy? So, and you also see over the passage of time, even with the ruling party, remember I was there. So they would always have policies. They would always make pronouncements, including the red line. But nothing will ever happen. So you get to understand when you closely analyze that, the problem is weak leadership. You need somebody to be able, you have a president who says, yeah, I think you have stolen and I don't want to fire you. Please resign, comrade. You understand? So the weakness of, because if you don't have a person, if you don't have a strong father in the house, what do you think is going to happen? All the children are going to be jumping on top of each other. There will be no order. There will be chaos. The neighbors would have no respect for anyone. That's why the Chinese, the Europeans, and the Germans, they take us to the cleaners because of weak leadership. So I'm actually saying one of the, of course, you have that motivation that people are saying, go and fight for us. But personally, I've decided that, look, I need to go and fight, but I need to also ensure that we give the leadership with necessary testicular fortitude to be able to take our country forward as far as the economy is concerned.
Yeah, because that was my concern. Now that most of us, we are busy with doing assessment, we assess and we assess. But as you have assessed now the leadership, that it could be weak according to you, have you now done also an assessment of yourself and the type of tools that you have and the confidence and everything that you have, and also study the political dynamics and the and every policy in surrounding leadership? That, are you able to go above? Are you able to improve? Are you able to do things different? Have you also done that introspective of yourself? Because you are the son of the leadership that exists. You have been trained by that system. You came through that system. Now, when you evaluate yourself, when you look at yourself, are you able to do things differently, even though you have been produced by that system, and to take our leadership to be different, as you say?
Well, I think we must correct. I have not been produced by that system. I would have been corrupt by now. I would have been in prison if I produced by that system. But of course, I do. And this we must deal with this thing. I was produced by communal farmers, subsistence farmers at the village I went to. From Marala, I went to Ipumbu Senior Secondary School, and then I came to UNAM. And I was already in leadership at Ipumbu. I was already a deputy head boy at a very young age.
I know.
Yeah, and then I came to UNAM. I was the SRC president. That's not a SWAPO system that produced me. And I went to South Africa to study, and I became the president of a Stellenbosch Political Science Students Association. That's not a SWAPO system that produced me. Only after I came back from South Africa, having drunk from the cup of black consciousness, that I then thought, okay, let's go and change the dynamics in there. I was voted to be the spokesperson of the SWAPO Youth League. I had the highest vote in the Central Committee. But I remember I was coming from South Africa, so I only lasted for 3 years in the Youth League because they couldn't take my politics. I had to be Pohamba, Gainkop, Mbuba, and all those Magogos. They were sitting in meetings saying, ah, we must
I
get
hope
rid
Magogo
of this.
Is not offensive, right?
No, Magogo means it's a big guy. It means a big guy.
Those are our Tatekulu, so yeah.
Yes. So they were all sitting there at those meetings saying, ah, no. In fact, that some of the words and these things are easily available. Hemu Tangula had to publish something that is called "We needed to deal with the rotten apple because that apple is going to create a problem to other apples." So I was just trying to correct that thing about being produced. It's been said and stated that we've been produced, but we have never been. But of course, we acknowledged an opportunity to be able to contest ideas with them and learn how to defeat opponents and also learn lessons from being defeated during that process. That's the first one. The second thing is that you simply need to, your question is that, have you done an introspection to yourself?
Of yourself, to be able to take up that highest position.
Absolutely. So you simply just need to see. We know that white people control and own this economy. Just ask. Between Nangolo Mbuba and Joba Mupanda, who is it that the white people are scared of? Who is it that white people want to contain? White people are not taking Mbuba to court or Netumbo. They are not concerned because they know those people are all going to talk about Kasinga and all those. They are there taking me in court because obviously none of them in 34 years dare to touch, for example, the red line and most of those issues.
Or we can call them the economic structure that kindly exists.
Absolutely, because I mean, those dynamics have always been there. So you have an all-white team that is there. With advocates from South Africa. And they are doing research to see apparently how much I own. They even hired private investigators. So the battles that I face already are the battles that the president's supposed to be facing. Those are the battles that ministers are supposed to be facing. But I face them as an ordinary young man with necessary testicular fortitude. So I'm already used to take on those that control the means of production. Even you see the Chinese and all those other guys, they always come and say, hey, who is this guy? I go to Germany and we are in those delegations, and then I'm simply asking, but what is it that you are doing? Why are you not retaining the remains of our ancestors? So you could see in those level of engagement, they look at who's in the delegation. To an extent that even with the city of Windhoek, you will see that, we want these meetings arranged separately. This guy must go to civil society. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm already doing this battle. So once in that office as president, then it will only be a decisive battle. So I'm a Jesse number 10 that is warming up at the touchline. And because we are replacing that player who's Jesse number 34. So the crowd already sees that, no, we need to get these guys in there. But also at the same time, I've also learned to basic lessons of leadership. During my years,
because that was actually my next question.
During my years at the university, I used to because remember, I was produced from and by the black consciousness movement, both in South Africa and Namibia through the Pan-African circles. And at one point, we used to think one settler, one bullet. And so you sometimes realize that I learned tactical sophistication because if you are shot, you leave your children orphaned. You leave your people that look up to you. They would have no leader. If you are in prison, so you get to learn about tactical sophistication. One of the things that I've changed over time is that I've learned to be very strategic in terms of how you fight. Sometimes you need to leave to fight another day. Sometimes you need to change course. Sometimes you need to have a bulletproof. Sometimes you need to shoot and be the first one to shoot, you know? Sometimes you need to fight fire with fire. So as far as introspection, I've learned over the, I mean, I'm only having 23 years left to pension now. I'm 37 years old. So with the passage of time, I've learned to not necessarily to moderate, it's just to be tactful. Yeah, so the value system is still the same. The radical position is still the same. The ideological positioning is still the same. But I've also learned, and the thing that I've learned over the past 5 years, it was a very difficult lesson to learn, the ability to engage the some sort of the opponent and the enemy. It was a very difficult stage to reach. And I wouldn't think, sometimes I used to think that, man, why am I engaging? The purpose of the enemy is to take a bullet and shoot the head of the enemy, cut off the head of the enemy. But with the passage of time, I've learned that, okay, sometimes it's not necessary. The enemy might also need freedom from himself and the type of consciousness. Maybe the enemy, the reason why the enemy is doing what he's doing is because of the wrong information that he might have about you and what you do.
Yeah.
So with the passage of time, so I've also learned to be able to listen and engage and win over those that I would not prioritize. So I think generally those are all the traits when you study leadership.
Yeah.
Those are all the traits that you would need as a leader, because you will be a president of everybody, including lunatics.
Yeah.
You'll be the president of the birds and the crocodiles and the taxi drivers and the economists, and you'll be the president of owners of radio stations.
Yeah.
You would even need to meet and engage with capitalists and captains of industry, regardless of your ideological positioning.
Yeah, because that was actually my next question too. Because people will ask that, okay, you are currently in the seat of Windhoek as a councillor in the city management committee. You were mayor.
You need to unlock your iPhone first.
You were mayor, and people will also interrogate you according to your past, according to what you've done, according to your style of approaching things. And many will say Job is not a leader of looking at how he approach things. And I appreciate actually you highlighting that you have learned something, because people evaluate you, your one of your term in Windhoek, and also what you have done regarding land. And so those are some of the questions to say now. What are you going to do different if you failed to change things within the city of Windhoek? If you failed to change things when you were given a term as a mayor? You know, that is where the evaluation is coming. Maybe if you can also just touch on that, okay, what have you learned? And also looking at what you have done. And also, I want you to understand the dynamics. Because when you're outside, because I'm also learning, I'm also a crazy person. When we are outside, we tend to be loud to say, I'm going to do this. You were now within the system of political dynamics and having different people at the table.
Yeah.
Are you still having the same amount of energy that you're going to change things, knowingly how the system works when you are right now in the seat of Windhoek? Are you still having that when I'm going to be the president? Remember, you're going to have a cabinet of different people.
Yeah.
And you are so now sitting in the city management committee and things. Are you still having the same energy that I'm going to change things regardless of what is going within the city of Windhoek?
Okay. So there are two things that we need to be able to clarify. I mean, we are in a silly season of a campaign. And one of the things that the political opponent have always done is to push that narrative. Now, you don't expect Satan to praise Jesus. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. It's a preoccupation and responsibility of Satan to find anything wrong. So we need to be able to, that's what I at least be able to do. So in psychoanalyzing the concern and the complaints and the critics, so you need to be able to understand that who is actually saying this about God. If Satan has an opinion about God, okay, but what if the person who's having concern is one of the disciples of Jesus? Then you obviously know that, this is coming from a good place. So I've now learned, you see, once you start, a person who say, you are driving a Ford Ranger, okay? Then you answer, oh, no, I only have one car. Then after you answer that question, they also say, you have an iPhone 16. So, you have you have, how much money do you have on your bank account? So you need to be able to make a distinction in terms of those so-called criticism that said, I'm the first mayor. I was the first mayor to have saved about 8 months during that whole period. Everyone understands how the city council operates. So one of the things that I've learned, and I'm not going to waste my time, because once you do that, to try to, apparently you did not do anything. Is it possible that you didn't do anything as a mayor? I mean, there are many things that you say, but immediately once you mention those things, then they will turn it around. Mm-hmm. You see, for example, those political opponents, they know very well that even before I go to the city, the Germans have given money for those so-called bicycle lanes.
And that is now, it became your legacy project.
So it's not necessarily my legacy project. People know exactly, absolutely what we did.
Okay.
For the first time, the city was able to build houses by itself, not giving out tenders. You go there to Comastal, when you go to Agustinium, just there by that corner, you know, there used to be an open land. There are houses that were physically built by the city. Of course, they will never highlight it. So this is what they do. They know that it's the Germans who did that program with GIZ and things like that, but that's not what they are interested in. They want to drag you to be so that you can be spending a lot of time explaining yourself, because in terms of this nonsense. So it is very important. So one of the things that I've learned, particularly the city of Windhoek, it's not necessarily about what you are able to do or not do, is that it seems that once you the mistake that I did, I was very already by February, April. So I already wanted to get the finances of the city right. Already we cut off water the same way how they do it. Within 1 week, we got about 100 million that came in, because people had not been paying for 34 years. So the mistake that I did is that I came with all those programs. I had a mayoral plan that all those councillors were ordered to vote it out, remove this guy. Apparently, the newspaper is always reporting about job. So it was a shocker to the system. So the biggest lesson that I've learned, in a situation where power is contested, where I didn't have absolute power, I probably needed to move very slow so that I don't pick up. So the mistake was I picked up while the citizens were resident Namibians were excited. So I picked up jealous people. I picked up opponent inside and outside. So then those forces combine and say, get rid of this guy as soon as possible. I mean, by August, you already see those partners to the coalition who are saying this guy must go. But people conveniently forget about those things. So I've learned, and again, it speaks to tactical sophistication. So I would probably not have ever entered in relationship with this type of people. Because on today in the morning, they said, okay, this is the guy who must go. And then after that, once you start progressing, they want to cut you. So it doesn't matter whether you are providing services to the residents and things like that. They will, you see, people still talk about job when you was a mayor. But after a job left, do you know there were other mayors? There is a mayor today. No one have those conversation about that mayor. You always say it because it's the opponent. It's a Satan who's talking about having complaints about Jesus. So I don't expect Satan to... In Oshuambo, there's a saying that the highest tree always catches most wind. So how come no one's talking about those mayors now? It's as if that we only psychoanalyze one. So I've learned that, and again, it's about tactical sophistication. It's not about, even if you answer that question, people know exactly what we have done in the city. We even wanted to create a municipality-owned company called Nova Actus. That company has been created, but they are making sure it doesn't take off. No one will ever talk about those things, because when you answer this, they will have another one.
Maybe just to cut you short, then. Now when you learned about that, are you now... When you are now, if the Namibian people give you the chance, do you now have the wisdom to be able to choose or to surround yourself with a team that is able to execute and not actually get in the way? Because now you've seen the system and you've seen, have you acquired some wisdom? Because you being the president is not enough. Also the team that you have, we are seeing that most of our presidents are also failing because of the team that they have. Maybe just in short, have you learned now and you have acquired the wisdom to be able to choose the right people to surround yourself and to execute in different ministries?
Absolutely. I think, firstly, when you are president, it's not the same as mayor. Your decisions are not questionable. You know, as mayor, you always have to consult 15 people. And this one says that, I want to go on the trip. If you don't take me to a trip, I will not support you and things like that. The president doesn't have, you are not constrained like that. So it's a lazy way. Many people try to make that comparison. It's an intellectual lazy thing to do that. But your specific question is that it's about team building. Do you have an ability, necessary ability to build a team?
And also to be questioned.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that, of course, I don't compromise in terms of radical politics, strong leadership that I'm emphasizing. So you need to be very strong. You cannot just be pushed around because people want to be in the team. Absolutely not. So I've always been able to produce leaders of society. So even people who were once in our leadership and they go elsewhere. So one of the things that you cannot fault them, they will be criticizing Job and say many things. But one of the things that you cannot fault is their ability, having been shaped, in their ability to be able to articulate themselves, to be able to understand the issue. So I don't have any concern about building a team and being able to be strategic and making the necessary appointment, realigning functions. So I'm not too concerned about that.
Okay.
So the concern was structural problem. That's why you see when we go to executive intervention in our plan for Namibia, that's one of the things that we try to cure, that
the structural issues.
Yes, you can have a good leader. You can have a good leader, but if the system is rigged, if the system structurally designed for a person, it's like, for example, what you're talking about, the Anti-Corruption Commission. People think the problem is Noah, but the problem is not necessarily Noah. Yes, Noah has his problem. We have problems with him, but Noah has been given powers by the act to decide whether he's going to refer. After people have investigated for 5 years, he can even decide there's no case because he has been given those powers. So whoever it is that you put there, those structural problems, they will be exercising the same powers.
Yeah.
That's why our intervention at that level to say, we cannot have a commission without a commissioner. The ACC is the only commission in the entire country without commissioners. So we'll put commissioners there so that he must go, the director general must go and motivate his decision before commissioners. And commissioners are from different background, different areas of expertise and things like that, so that they are able to do that. So I've now learned that one of the easiest way to deal with leadership being undermined is to be able to have strong institution and strong structures to be able to handle those things. And obviously, I didn't have those instruments. But look, at least I was a mayor at my youngest age. I was a mayor having an opportunity to learn. Some people have not even been class captain in this country. So sometimes there is an opportunity you need to be able to learn. So as when I go to State House, I'm not going to have learned about how the finances work. I'm not going to learn. I would have learned it firsthand.
Yeah.
We moved the city. It had a disclaimer. You understand these terms.
Yeah,
it had a disclaimer because auditors couldn't make sense of those finances. By the time we have left, we have moved from a disclaimer to a qualified opinion. That's serious. Serious progress. So very soon you will have an unqualified opinion. So at one point they couldn't edit the finances. Now they could look at the finances and things like that. So this is an opportunity. And you see some of these people who always have the political opponents.
Yeah, let me just get you there. Just a quick advert quickly for us.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Yeah, I think you can just finish that thought, then we can jump into
So I was saying that at least I had an opportunity to learn and learn the hard way, being opposed at the highest level. To an extent, it's as if people stopped, this window stopped having mayors after I've left. So no one is concerned about mayors anymore. No one is. What if there are bicycle cones that are being built after I've left? so that's one thing. But what does it tell you? Is first of all, people have hope, but people are also critical of you because of who you are as an actor. That's one. But I'm saying at least I have had an opportunity to do what I could do in the shortest period of time, but I also had an opportunity to learn, in terms of what. So that makes me ready. Compared to all other people that we have there, what did you have? We are 15 of us as president. How many of them had an opportunity to lead at the youngest age? Some of them at the youngest age, they were in London. Some of them at the youngest age, they were in the bushes in Angola. Some of them at the youngest age. At my youngest age, I was leading the capital city. Fine. That's on one hand. On the other hand is that it's so amazing. Among all those 15 candidates that you would have, one of these people that have been spoken about have been there for 34 years, you know. Some of them have been in parliament for 24 years. One is there for 34 years. One is there in parliament for 24 years. 10 years, 15 years, and things like that. But the comparison, the entire discussion is not about 34 years of failure. It's not about 24 years of effectiveness in parliament.
And it's about the eight. Let us not giving them an audience.
This absolutely.
One is yours. This one is yours.
That's why I'm trying to explain Kanjengo to say that. But even the criticism, when you think about it soberly, you know, sometimes you, even if it's an opponent, you think about soberly say, to say that, so I'm such a force. Ne? So even in 8 months, when you are contested, when you're having all these wolves around you, when your every decision is contested at every 10, you remember you only have 2 seats. You are such a jitter that even during that difficult time, you are like a Robin Hood who must emerge. So something like that, I appreciate. It tells me that even in difficult circumstances, even where I don't have power and control, people still expect me to do miracles, which is a wonderful thing when you think about it. I think this is the best way to conclude this specific question.
Yeah. And for those that are just tuning in, we are in a studio with Job Mpanda, the leader of Affirmative Reposition. And we have reached out to all political parties in Namibia to say we do have a show called the Business and Economic Segment. And we do want all the political parties to come and present their manifestos here. And yes, of course, you have to contribute 2 cents, but get a platform. The 30-minute job, those were from Eagle FM. That's why I was asking our questions. Okay. Now, your 30-minute is coming. And this is my last question to you or for you to get into that manifesto, because I believe that is your plan. That is your strategy. And the Namibian people need to know so that they can decide to give you that higher office or so that they decide how many people or how many of your team need to go to parliament. And this is the question. Why must I know about AR Manifesto? Why must I read it? What is in there for me? We haven't been reading. Why must we read now? Why must we consult you on that plan? What is in that strategy? And if you can just perhaps even maybe in 15 minutes or maybe in 10 minutes summarize it, why should Namibian people go in there before they decide whether to choose job or not to choose job?
Thank you very much, Kanjengo. I'm very glad that you asked me those tough questions. And this is what we expect of for our journalists, to be able to ask tough questions and so that we can have the best out of everybody. Because that's how iron sharpens iron. Yeah, so the diamond is polished with the necessary polishing temperatures and instrument and things like that. So, yes, we have crafted carefully what is called the AR plan for Namibia under the theme, Our Country, Our Future, Our Time. And that's the context in which we are drafted. So we've released that document. It's a very, it's a very strategic document. So what I mean by strategic document, it operates at a strategic level. We are not saying how much sugar must go in coffee or how much salt spoon or tablespoon and things like that. We are simply saying that this is where we are going to get the bread. This is where we are going to get the necessary ingredients that are needed for breakfast. Those other details, that's why you would have ministers, that's why you have ministries. And I see a lot of people who are talking about spoon of sugar. That's not what is supposed to operate at this level. A person must have an understanding. Once you sit there, once you have members of parliament, what is it that you are going to be doing there? When you read our document, and I encourage you, those of you to, so that it's easier, that those of you that are listening to go take the document and see it, there is a photo on page 3, Linu Janki. So some people were calling me laughing and say, oh, but it made me think. Because we're saying, if you think about it, how much was a junkie in 1992? Kajango kai kai na 20 cent. And in 2024, it's now $5. But the one that 20 cent one in 1992 was bigger. But the ingredients of producing it have not changed. It's still wheat. It's still sugar. It's still cooking oil. It's still salt. Nothing have changed there. But you could see that the other one was bigger. But the cost was also smaller. So we put it there to trigger imagination. That's what we are about. To trigger imagination for you to even if you are not going to vote for us, even if you are going to vote for your corrupt people, at least you understand.
Or for the other people that we do not know if they are corrupt.
Yes. So at least you understand. It triggers your imagination. So at that level, because we're also talking about the creative industries.
Mm.
So our people who are able to design those cartoons and to read and reach the imagination of people, even if you don't want to read, you simply just say, but it's true, ne?
Mm-hmm.
But why?
Mm.
Where is wheat coming from?
Mm.
Where is cooking oil coming from?
Mm.
When you ask that question, you will understand where our economy is.
Mm.
So in our plan for Namibia, there are those introductory notes. I will not go into them.
Mm.
And then we try to explain that what does this plan offer Namibia and Namibians?
Mm.
That's what you'll find on page 7.
Yeah.
We detail firstly decisive leadership, like a strong leadership that is rooted in African culture and tradition.
Yeah.
So that's what you'd find, that this government is not concerned about African culture and tradition.
Mm.
We are more concerned about European culture and things like that.
Mm.
It is all about KFC. Mm. It's all about rice, things that we don't produce.
Mm.
Thomas Sankara told us, he who feeds you controls you.
Mm.
So a necessary decisive leadership is needed
to carry out a
number of intervention that is going to change that, to ensure that African leadership and culture is concerned. So we must be able to see in Namibia now, if Namibia was a person and Namibia stand before the mirror and you as Namibia stand before the mirror, you won't be able to recognize yourself because the head will be white and the eyes will be Chinese and the legs will be German. Mm. It will be some Oshiruyeke.
Okombo.
Yes, Okombo.
Okombo
Kavano Soda. So it's like literally we can't recognize ourselves.
Mm.
So decisive leadership is needed to be able to do that. So that's one of the first things that you would see. We also summarize it in bullet form so that you see what do we mean by decisive leadership. Secondly, we're talking about the economic agenda, that at the core of our economic agenda is the creation of a capable developmental state solving economic problems that we have. And we have series of intervention that we are also doing. And some business people are very excited about some of those initiatives that we will do. That once I'm done with the explanation, I'm sure yourself as an economist who's well established will also have some of those questions. But we also have legal and electoral agenda. People are just talking about this ministry and what, but we also have serious political and legal problems that we need to be able to address. And lastly, we have the social agenda where we want to build a cohesive society. We then explain there. So these are the things that we want to do. But what have we achieved? Now, you see people, they are having their document. They're not telling us what they have achieved. For example, the question that you have been asking me, have you introspected yourself, whether you are able to, you are capable? And what has happened in the city of Windhoek? What has happened in many other places and things like that? And I was hoping that you would also ask me, what has happened at State House when you went to negotiate with the president for those plots and things like that? So we try to explain to people this is what we have achieved. We try to explain to people that we have awakened the people of Namibia. Most of the time they were sleeping. They didn't even know that you can stand up. The minister, when they come to the villages, you will even find a minister who owns a farm and have 5,000 chickens. But when he goes to a village for Independence Day, the villagers who only have 10 chickens are donating chickens to the person with 5,000 chickens. So we have awakened Namibians for them to understand what is it that's supposed to be. Politics is about, it's supposed to be about meeting the needs of people at the point of need.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be moving our people from point A to point B, where point B is a better place. So we explain there on page 9 about awakening Namibians. We talk about influencing key government socioeconomic policies. And people are talking about a coalition. We almost had, I think we had the first coalition in our country after we signed that agreement with the president. Because after that agreement, we used to come with our own engineers and government came with their own engineers on the other side. And we decide what should actually happen. So we detailed all those achievements there that we have achieved. We detailed our fight against corruption. If it wasn't for the AR movement, some of those corrupt guys would still be in office today. And we explained all those things you would find there. We made politics fashionable. Everyone is now interested in participating in politics. And we also explained there on page 10 that the achievement of the AR movement and its activists are so broad, you are unable to articulate them in that. So a person must be able to understand, if you're saying this is the best soccer player, where have they, what is their track record? What goals have they scored? What type of award they have received? So we detail that one. So the first that you find in our plan for Namibia is actually political and electoral agenda. We're simply saying that, look, at the age of 16, this is the age of consent.
Yeah.
Ne? So in other words, it is permissible and is allowed for our children to have sex, to have sex at 16. So that basically means that at 17 and at 16, these kids can become mothers.
Yeah.
If this mother who have given birth, if there's a parents meeting at the crèche, at the pre-primary where they drop the kids, this is the 17-year-old who go to that meeting.
Yes.
But at 17, you also get a learner's license.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a learner's license, you get to drive a car. You get to make life and death decisions.
Mm.
Yes, of course, there's somebody who's supervising you.
Yeah, but you can't vote.
Yes, but you can't vote. Apparently, you can't vote.
Mm.
And these are many, and we're simply just saying, no.
Mm.
If you see that these kids can take all these decisions, why can't, I mean, you simply need to choose between two politicians that you see every day.
Mm.
Yeah, but you take decisions, and there are some medical procedures that they would already consent it at 16.
Mm.
So the AR movement is suggesting in our program of action, we are going to reduce the voting age from 18 to 16, because we think that they're already taking this decision. We cannot lock them out for forever. We are also saying that, I mean, you are given Article 17 rights by the Namibian Constitution, but then again, you must register again. Now, sometimes you are out with work. You are in the sea. You are out with work maybe for a month or two. Yeah. But when you come back, you can't vote because you didn't register. Yeah. So we are of the view that people should actually be able to vote with their IDs.
Okay.
They shouldn't be registering to vote and all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
But we also believe that, why is it, Kanjengo, why is it that you only vote for politicians? You only vote for us. Why don't we put important national questions on the ballot
so
that you can also add your view there?
So that they can choose if to build a dam or not to build a dam.
Absolutely. Okay. So what we also want to do is that you will get your ballot for president, you will get your ballot for National Assembly, but you also get another ballot on whether we must continue being pegged to South African rent. You see, whether Chinese must get Namibian citizenship, like all these things that are happening like this, whether Chinese must be allowed at the level small shops, even in the villages and things like that. So we want to also ensure that important national questions cannot just be left by the few politicians. So Namibia must also get an opportunity to do that. So we want to ensure that under the protection and promotion of indigenous languages, we would declare all our languages, all local languages, would declare them as national languages. Yeah. So because now, even Chinese, kids are learning Chinese at schools, but they are not learning their mother languages. And it's worse. I'm coming from the Zambezi. In the Zambezi, where I came from now, just this week, when I grew up, I speak Oshindonga at home. I go to Marara Primary School, I learn Oshindonga. I go to Ipumbu, I learn Oshindonga. I can go to the library and read novels in Oshindonga. People in Zambezi is not the same. You speak Suvia at home. When you go to school, you are told Silozi. And you are taught Silozi in English. Those languages are not protected, are not defended. So what we are proposing is that we will declare all local languages national languages. By implication, once you declare a language a national language, there's certain obligation. So what's going to happen is that we are also saying people must be able to stand up in parliament, in the national council, and speak in their languages. Because parliamentarians are representative of the people of Namibia, and people of Namibians have their own cultures and traditions. So we want somebody to stand up in parliament and just say, "Pikinini, Ushimayotang
Longoshono." Yeah. There is, I think there have been two callers that have been trying to come through. Let me just give one a chance quickly.
Sure.
Yes, good evening to you.
Good evening, Kanjo Kankwanyuka, and good evening, Doctor. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, do you have some questions there?
Yes, sir. I have got some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Doctor, for coming.
Yeah.
In the scheduled time, and it's very important to highlight and also educate us into those issues. I've got two things to remark on and ask some questions.
Yeah, maybe just ask the question, because we only have he only has about 12 minutes and he has to sum up the manifesto why he came. But yeah, please, maybe just the questions, please.
I'll just briefly take 2 minutes or so. If I take more than 3 minutes, please stop me. Thank you. So, Doctor, yes, the system that molded you, that really inspired you, is not of the one of in the bush, in like in Angola, because there was no leadership structure there, according to you. And thank you very much. I've interacted with you also before this time. Yeah, I know you are so passionate about gender issue, and I think your focus, your research, one of your educational program was on that. That's why we developed that language. I say, "Kulu mingo kuju." I used to tell you like that.
Yeah.
So I know very well you have interacted. Most of your literature reviews are coming from that system, the system of the Swapolite government. Mm-hmm. And with that, so now the issue of president being unquestionable, I think the president is questionable. You have asked more many questions. You have interacted with the president.
But I don't want it to be between president and president. I just want, if you have a question on their manifesto, or just on him. Let us not compare.
I think it's crucial. This issue that he has mentioned, I think it's part of his manifesto and agenda.
No, I think
the last one on the strong leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this strong leadership fall in the theories of leadership? Mm-hmm. Is it in the servant leadership or conscious or which? Where does it fall? Because I'm just hearing strong leadership.
Mm-hmm. But I think that one is personal. You go assess it yourself where your leadership fall.
No. That is what you want to present to the nation, isn't it?
Okay.
That's fine. I can handle that.
So those are some of the issues. Maybe the race.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Chinese, the Indians, the Vambos, and things like that, does it now mean that in this global village, you also have in the marriage and things like that?
Okay.
So you not accept people to have a mixture race kind of?
Mm-hmm. No. I think that one is clear, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think I need to let me deal with those questions and then just go to our plan. Otherwise, we won't finish some of those.
Yeah, because
issues.
If you won't finish, yes, you are still gonna come back and pay me. I have no problem.
Yeah. So look. I don't understand.
Okay, maybe Bwana is Tate Kulubwana always call.
Yeah.
Let me, maybe if somebody is different, let us take.
I think it's, let me finish and then otherwise I'll not, these guys will hear their own voices and then people won't know what we are trying to do about. Mm. So quickly to deal with that, look, I don't understand when he says that literature, that I'm a political scientist.
Mm.
We are always talking about the lack of literature in Namibia. I don't understand when he's talking about the literature that produced me from a Swapo thing. No, in fact, I was part of the team that drafted the curriculum for the party school of Swapo at the time. So I don't think I'm here to tell people what I'm going to do and what the AI movement is going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
When he's asking about strong leadership, I mean, countries that have developed, when we are talking about the developmental state, is that it's capable, capable, strong leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's a common trait in leadership. If there's weak leadership, it's just weak leadership.
Mm.
If you are fighting each other with your brother and your father, instead of intervening, your father is just crying.
Mm.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about. We have weak leadership in our country. So, but I won't be able to to go in those details. I need to be able to finish.
Yeah.
I was talking about the protection of our indigenous languages. So we are saying that we need to allow members of parliament to speak in their languages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes we think in our vernacular, and when we are translating that into English, people laugh at us that or tot there.
Yeah.
But the problem is just because of that thing. So once we do that, it basically means that parliament would have to employ interpreters. So languages would then have to be developed. Those languages will have to be developed. Those languages that are not developed, there must be novels, there must be books that are written. So government must have a deliberate program to develop those languages.
Mm.
But look, if you are a successful CEO, you send your child to a private school, there's no single local language there.
Mm.
And your child end up not being able to, because your child spend most of their time in the school. So we are going to compel all private school, public and private school, to offer local languages.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that we're also talking about is, you see, Tobias Anyeko has about 100,000 or Samora Machel 100,000 inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are assumed to be under one councillor. So what we are going to be doing is that we are going to put government office. So we take one constituency, like Ondangwa Eben or Ndangilo, and divide it into sub-wards.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those wards must have an official government official that works under the councillor.
Mm-hmm.
So how can one person be responsible, particularly in rural areas, how can one person be responsible for 100,000 people?
And this is perhaps why the people in Oshkoto wanted it again to be divided in other smaller things.
Yes. So because the level of thought, they just think that, okay, once we have a region, maybe we'll be able to, but part of the problem could also be a subdivision of a constituency to be able to have government officials. You must be in the village, and if there's a government office that is closer to your village, then you can go and do some of those things.
Okay.
But we also want Namibians to participate, for them to be able to participate in things such as constitutional amendments. What do Namibians think about the constitution? Not just 104 people that are there. So the AR government would run a national-wide consultation with traditional leaders, with religious people, with the business people on the constitution. What is it that we must be able to do with the constitution? So those are type of interventions. People are just talking about, agriculture, what. But there are fundamental issues that we need to be able to do. If we don't protect our languages, one day your child will not be able to speak your language. And that child will be fluent in Chinese or German. And those languages are making inroads and we are not. Now, the economic and development agenda is the second, because I was just explaining some of those key intervention as far as the political and electoral policies are concerned. Remember, we are talking about building a capable developmental state.
Yeah.
That capable developmental state is characterized by meritocracy. So in other words, the person that gets a job is a person who's qualified and competent to do the job. You don't get a job in the AR government because you were born in some bush in exile. We do recognize what our elders have done, but how do you run an economy? Maybe you can do those things about singing songs and keep them Swapo music groups and things like that, for them to write their history of Swapo there. But how do you put a person in the Ministry of Finance because they were born in exile? So a meritocracy, it's what can achieve a capable developmental state. So ministers must also write tests. So you don't just wake up because you were singing the loudest and then you think you can get all those things. So a capable developmental state will also match economic planning with economic management. You know what these guys do? They say, oh, this is NDP-4. Like when we had NDP-5, these are the targets of NDP-5. It's only at the end of NDP-5 that they discover that only 58% of the targets were met. Right? It's because you do economic planning without economic management. So what we are going to be doing at the economic level is that our economy must be managed. The plans must be managed every day. There must be somebody whose preoccupation is to see how far are we doing. So once you do, you match economic planning with economic management, you also then look at budget and procurement as economic management tools, right? So this is a budget. We want to build a school. And these guys, after they release the budget, they just go and sit. Oh, no, it's with procurement. The tender has been advertised. But you must already say the budget. We want to create, this budget is anticipated to create 100,000 jobs. Okay, then when you do this procurement, that's what those guys must be able to assess. You don't just say that we are so the guys who are budgeting, they budget and they finish. The guys who are doing procurement, they just award the procurements. After they award the procurement, then they are done. So that's what one of the things that we will also be able to, therefore we will have budget and procurement reports. How many tenders have you been given? How many of them have been executed? How many of them are stagnated? That's what we are talking about, economic management, and using those as tools. But the other thing that we're also talking about, we want fiscal sovereignty and fiscal policy reforms. Now, those fiscal policy and fiscal policy reform, and I went to for example, just to give you an as an example, we know that we between 2021 and 2023, we imported goods from South Africa to the value of 50 billion. Now, we import from South Africa 80% of all our product. But also, when you go to this Ster Kenico for the movies, the cinema, you know that they don't deal in cash there. You must swipe. So if you have money like cash, they won't take it because they don't have a bank account here. It's in South Africa. Here, they're just there to extract. nothing happened actually there. Mm. That's one. Number two, you go to House and Home. I wanted to come and swipe, and the guy said, no, you can't, because I have to confirm from South Africa whether that payment has been done. Mm-hmm. It is the same thing with cash build, mm-hmm. right? So what you basically have, you have a situation where we actually don't have fiscal sovereignty, mm-hmm. yeah, our ability to be able to run our economy and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we want to change those type of intervention, and we also want to have quite a number of tax reforms. Mm-hmm. One of the tax reforms that we want to do is that we want you, when you're already working, you are paying tax to government.
Yeah,
but when you retire, mm-hmm. why do you have a pension? It's because it's anticipated that there's going to be a series of vulnerabilities,
mm.
because you would have lost your income, you're no longer energetic,
mm.
but government still takes you on your pension. Mm. You know, there are people who actually tell me, Job, I paid 400,000 to NAMRA. We want to do away with that. Once we do away with that, it means that one person will be able to have that 400,000. That 400,000 can start a business and stimulate the economy. So our tax intervention is to remove. You get your pension because you've already been paying. You have been making that contribution already during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to introduce a carbon tax,
mm-hmm.
Because we have seen that Ramatex, for example, came here.
Mm-hmm.
Ramatex came here, and after that they've left, or some other industries leave, and then you are left with environmental degradation and things like that. For all environmental causes and climate change intervention, so the carbon tax is envisaged to be able to assist us through that process. The other one that is also very important, a form of tax intervention that we are introducing, and we are very excited about that, and we are proud of our team, is to say that because of our unemployment situation, our tax intervention is that if you are a company and you create 100 plus new permanent jobs, you are going to get an equivalent of 1 year tax holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So say, for instance, you say, I paid 50 million in tax every year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do a calculation. How much is it going to cost me to create 100 new jobs? Then you would realize, oh, it's only going to cost me 30 million. It's actually, you use that 30 million, you invest that 30 million, you create those 100 plus jobs, and you still save 20 million, and then you because you get it back, because you will not be paying tax.
Yeah.
So any entrepreneur who pays 50 million in tax and can use the 30 million to produce jobs and be able to save 20 million. Because remember, from 100 jobs that you are also creating, it also increase and contribute to your productivity.
Yeah.
So we are very excited about that, because we accept that it's not just the politicians. Politicians don't create jobs.
Yeah.
But it's clever politicians who can stimulate the economy. We still value the private sector in terms of being able to do some of those other things.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Job, we had in 1 hour. You have to draw your conclusion and even the line. But it's a clear indication that yes, you need another 30 minutes. We have to find a way for you to get the 30 minutes. So you have to, on 1 minute, you have to conclude God.
This is, you allowed all those Bwana and guys to just waste our time. Let me try just to run through without explaining, perhaps.
It's 1900. Then the guys from the north have to come through. And you're also having callers. So we have to find another way.
So what are you suggesting should happen?
Let us go sit outside and find a better modality for you to come back.
You guys are just businesses. So, but what we're basically saying, okay, maybe without getting into details, is that in our manifesto, so-called manifesto, we're calling it the Plan for Namibia, we detail all our agenda. Unfortunately, I couldn't detail all many other aspects that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that is also unique, we are explaining to you what laws are we introducing. People are just saying, we want to go to parliament. We are saying all ARMPs are going to introduce the following laws. And we have detailed them there. You will be able to find them. But we're also saying that we need to build a constitutional court. This Chief Justice has been a Chief Justice for 23 years. President, you are given 5 years. Speaker of Parliament, you are given 5 years. But Chief Justice is just there forever. We want term limits for the Chief Justice.
Okay.
And most of the intervention, we want small claims court, and you see most intervention. We are not leaving anything, the judiciary. Even the intelligence, we are also saying they must create an economic agility unit in there to be able to deal with some of those issues.
Okay.
It's unfortunate that we couldn't go in details.
We are going to applaud also the manifesto.
I'm quite disappointed that couldn't. But you are not a public broadcaster. You are a business people, and I'm sure Walenga is very serious about the economy and business.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but I guess it's unfortunate, but let me not be ungrateful.
Mm.
Thank you very much for an opportunity to be able to ventilate some of the issues, what we are also going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying to the people of Namibia, for us, it's a fight. It's not participation.
Mm.
We're not fighting to wear blue suits and blue socks and to sit in parliament and to sit at State House. It's a fight.
Mm.
On the 27th of November, for us, it's a fight. Because if we don't fight, our children are going to be a mess.
Mm.
These people who are 72, 68, who have been in parliament for, we have never been in parliament, we have never been in government, we are preparing to take over. All our opponents have been in either in parliament, be it the so-called opposition or ruling party. They've been in this country for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
We are bringing a fresh ideas, and for us, it's a fight. For them, it's a competition, it's to show how many people they can bust at their rallies and things like that. For us, it's a fight, and we are hoping that Namibians can understand, and we are reaching out to their consciousness, to the depth of their hearts, to be able to understand that we are their children who want to be able to do that. The mothers can't run.
Mm.
The fathers, grandparents can't run.
Mm.
We are saying we are available for you as the people of Namibia, for us to run, because we have the energy, we have the time, we have the ability to run and make sure that things are done properly.
Yeah. And also, thank you so much, Yusuf, for availing that. I think this type of intervention, as we have indicated earlier, Eagle FM is a bridge. We are one to facilitate a knowledgeable economy. And also thank you for actually having something planned, and you also understood it well, and you also spoke. I hope the ARS sympathizers and your investors and everybody, you are hearing us. People want to call in. People want to ask questions. And I think if you guys can sit down, I'm available and I welcome you again here. So thank you so much, Yusuf, for making time.
Okay, so once we get money, we'll come back.
Come back. I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, so maybe...
It's just a 30-minute. We give you another 30-minute. You can have a whole hour, just like what we did today.
So maybe there might be somebody... Maybe you can tell them they can even pay directly to Eagle FM. They don't have to...
Yeah.
And just to say that how much is it? You can call. You don't need to tell us. We don't need to know who you are.
Who you are, yes.
Because some people are in those political parties and they believe that in our vision.
Mm.
And I agree with you. Maybe they can call Eagle FM and then I will get a call from you.
Yeah, definitely. And my number is on the poster, their colleagues, those who want the job to retain him again. Because he could have gone into detail. I have already finished the manifesto myself. I'm reading all the manifestos. But yes, not all of us are readers. You can also just talk to me that you want a job back here. We talk and I can call him to come back here. So with that, colleagues, we have stolen 4 minutes so far. Thank you so much for those who choose Eagle FM. The Village will come out tomorrow. Go read the business and economic environment so you can make your choices in terms of what is happening. Download our app so you can listen to us wherever you are. Or you can just buy the radio and listen to the stereo. Or for those who are on their computers, you can literally stream and listen to us via the website. Let us keep the conversation going. Let us ask the critical and the difficult question. The main aim is not to fight, but rather to fight economically and to improve things. So with that, colleagues, thank you so much and have a very good night.
Lipurane ngeno wapongwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Ono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko derewa. Nora hetatu natu. Bali o hetatu watatu. Oma felane Eagle FM. The eye.